welcome to Awaken Podcast. I hope you enjoy the teaching.
Good morning, Awaken. So glad that everyone was able to make it here this morning and share this time together. You know, as we start our services, we just want to recognize that we're all coming together and set our intentions upon what we do in this space during this time, that it's a sacred time that we come together. And just want to also acknowledge that we have a huge range of emotions that we're bringing into the room, from good news within our congregation with the situation with Micah, and also news within our nation that is controversial and difficult and has us holding a range of emotions. So we like to name that here compared to just going on with, that things are not normal because they aren't. So I would like to offer a call to worship, and this is from a book called The Psalms for Praying. A woman, Nan Merrill, has paraphrased, adapted the Psalms. So come with me in this reading of Psalm 46. The beloved is our refuge and strength, a loving presence in times of trouble. Therefore, we stand in awe, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the holy city, the holy habitation of the Most High. The beloved is in the midst of it. It shall not be moved. Our loving Creator is an ever-present help. The nations may be at war, countries left in ruins, yet it is the voice of the Almighty heard, slowly breaking through hearts of stone. The beloved is ever with us, the infinite heart of love. Come, behold the works of the beloved, how love does reign even in human desolation. For the beloved yearns for wars to cease, shining light into fearful hearts, loving even those who oppress the weak, refining hearts of steel. Hear this from the Lord. Be still and know that I am love. Awaken, befriend justice and mercy. Do you not know you bear my love? Who among you will respond? O Blessed One, you know all hearts. You are ever with us. May your love ever guide us.
Now I have the pleasure of introducing to you our artists in residence. For those of you that are maybe new to our community, we have a rich, deep group of artists that attend our church that we gather often and just connect with one another. And we have some art out in the gallery space we put up about a month ago now, maybe 3 weeks ago. And all of that art is by our new artist in residence, whose name is Diane McNew. And so I have asked her to come and share a little bit about her work and her artistic life with us. So please welcome Diane McNew.
Hello, everyone. I came to Awaken due to my good and dear friend Marilyn Bumstead's encouragement that there was a large group of artists in this congregation. I came once, heard the music and the message, attended a Bible study, joined a book club, and kept returning, but also for what I believe Awaken represents, along with a spirit of creativity, an open door, loving connections, and encouragement for all who seek truth. Influenced by my past involvement in dancing, singing, writing, and studies of Jungian analysis, I began painting about 12 years ago in California and discovered a love for abstract expressionism, mixed media, and process painting, forms of working that allow me to uncover and explore images and intuitions of the inner and unconscious self and where it intersects with what is visually concrete. In process painting, you start the journey, often without a set itinerary. As you paint, the painting itself begins to tell you what is being revealed through images, colors, textures. Process paintings are less about planning and more about discovery as one moves through the choreography of creating them. Stories unfold of childhood and adult experiences and memories. There is a shape, form, message, or image that insists on being revealed. I paint and create from imagination, what I refer to as the interior landscape, almost entirely, although there are some rare exceptions, such as the representation of the beggar woman that is exhibited here and was rendered from a black and white photograph. So I want to explain it a little bit. There's a painting back here. And so when you do process painting, the way I start is that I start laying down like different textures and I compose something, and then I start taking a palette knife and a brush and I start putting lots of different colors on it. Sometimes I'm turning the painting as I'm painting to see what's going to emerge from it. And in this case, this particular painting, it finally came to me that the painting was this way. And because I saw sort of a building up here and kind of a bridge and a waterfall, and I realized that I had been studying this ancient Ethiopian culture called the Saba Meroe, which is where the Ethiopians believe the Queen of Sheba is from, and that they had a temple of the Hanging Gardens. And so this emerged because it has flowers like a garden and all of that, and it emerged from me, and I call it the Temple of the Hanging Gardens. So it gives you an idea of how process painting works. When I was asked to talk about God's presence in my art, I kept thinking about Makoto Fujimura, who invites the Holy Spirit to participate as he begins his paintings. I have not issued a direct invitation, at least not yet. But in reflecting on the question and looking at various works of mine, I was surprised to discover how much God is present in my work, both in my subjects, nature, and the interior landscape, where conversations with the Holy Spirit often take place, and how that gets intermingled with and expressed through the work. Many of my direct experiences of God's pure love and correction have taken place in that same interior landscape. Experiences of forgiveness, gratitude or joy, healing where I have missed the mark, and solace for injustices to self, others, and nature. I would like to thank Micah, Jenna, Melody, and Vanessa, and all those involved for the opportunity to exhibit my work here at Awaken. And we'll end with a quote from Ben Folds' book, A Dream About Lightning Bugs. At its most basic, making art is about following what's luminous to you and putting it in a jar to share with others. It reminds us where we have been, what we have felt, who we are, and why we are here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. Let's wrap up the fun here, okay? Well, I'm Jenna, if we haven't met. I'm the executive pastor here at Awaken. Welcome to you this morning. Welcome if you're visiting or new. We're really glad you're here. If you're interested in connecting at Awaken, there's a connection card in front of you, or you can go onto the website, fill out one of those cards. Someone from our staff will contact you. We would love to take you out for a beverage of your choice, get to know you a little bit more, and if you do a physical card or any tithes and offerings can go in the black boxes by each of the doors. Well, this morning, we're gonna do some business as usual things. I'm gonna do community life here, fill you in on what's going on. I have an update for you, and then I'm gonna preach a sermon. So that's the plan. Just a reminder that next week, July 3rd, is worship in the park, so we're keeping that rhythm through Sunday first Sunday of the month, we'll be in the park. It'll be Highland Park next week, and there is a time change. I know that our times have been clear as mud, but we will get it by the end of the summer when we change it again. So 11 a.m. next Sunday, July 3rd, Highland Park Pavilion. What we'll do during that time, so you'll hear a little bit of an update from Micah's experience at the annual meeting this past week, and then we're just going to have lunch together because it's a holiday weekend and some of us don't have cabins, so we will be in town. So it'll be pretty simple. Just make sure to bring a lunch and we'll just spend some time together. The following weekend, July 8th to 10th, we are hosting a camping weekend. So Kathy is going to take a group of people. Yeah, we're excited about that. I think there are about 12 people signed up, so it's not a crazy wild group. But there's a spot for a group site and some individual sites. It's at, where is it? Lake Elmo Park Reserve. So you can register online. And then also that weekend, Sunday, July 10th, we'll do Discover Awaken. So if you're new, that's a really good way to kind of hear the story of Awaken, ask some questions, get to know some new folks. So if you can register online for that, we provide lunch, and that will be right after the gathering. So all that to say, this update, if you haven't heard in the Awaken Weekly, and maybe if you're just joining us today, we have been in a long conversation with our denomination around Micah's credential in particular, his ordination. So this past week, he was at the denomination's annual meeting. And again, just to remind the process, the Board of Ordered Ministry, not Harry Potter, actual group of people, Board of Ordered Ministry recommended to the ministerium, so that's covenant clergy, that his ordination would be revoked. It went to that group of people, and that group of people did not pass that recommendation. And friends, I'm going to be really honest. I don't know what I expected, but it was not that. So what that means is that leaves us in a really squishy space. That will go back to the Board of Ordered Ministry and Micah to work something out. This has kind of never happened. We're in really uncharted water. So all that to say, I have no guidance, but we will keep you updated as those things happen. And maybe I'll just comment. I've had a really different journey with the covenant and made some decisions around my own credentials. And this whole process for me, it was just really important. And I think this is mirrored in the board and staff and kind of all of you as we've listened. It just felt really important to me that 5 years from now, when we look back at this moment in our congregation's history, can we look back and say that we acted in integrity? Can we look back and say that we gave what was ours to give, and then we didn't give what was not ours to give? And I'm just really proud, because I think we did that. So I don't know what that means, and that's okay. We will figure it out. But it feels hopeful today. And that's great. We love that feeling. So I'm really excited to be teaching this morning. I will be closing our series on the book of Philippians, and then it'll be July 10th, we'll start our Lost in Translation series that we usually do every summer. Yeah, that's where we take all the weird, hard-to-understand passages in the Bible, of which there are many. I think this is our sixth year. We find new things every time. One of the things we're really excited about is Mike is actually going to take 2 weeks and look at passages that traditionally support or that support traditional marriage, and he's actually going to walk us through how do you come to an affirming position using the scriptures. So just a little teaser, those things will be, I think, really interesting to study together. So that'll be real fun. As we transition to the reading of scripture this morning, I wanted to make a few comments about the translation we're going to use. This I was gifted from Claire Carr, who's gifted it from Becky Carr. It's the First Nations version of the New Testament. So what this is a group of Indigenous elders, pastors, community members partnered with biblical scholars and created a New Testament translation, which is such a cool project. And maybe I'll just say, like, it's opened up some things that maybe felt a little tired in my Bible reading. And so I just thought, I haven't preached in a while, this is maybe a good opportunity to hear some, maybe a different translation. But the other piece and reason why I wanted to use this translation is we are studying a passage that's actually pretty familiar. It's Philippians 4 that talks about, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We will be content in all things. I just want you to imagine walking through Hobby Lobby right now. Like maybe perusing Etsy. The Word Art Movement really loves this one. Like at a sporting event, we see, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You probably know someone with a tattoo. And I'm not saying that to critique it necessarily. These are beautiful words. And I'm teasing Christian culture a little bit. I think Paul actually has something really important to say about life, about the realities of life, and about God in the midst of it. And I really want us to hear it. Hence a different translation. So what I'm going to do is invite Carrie up for the reading of the scriptures. And I'm going to read the NIV version of it, so maybe that familiar sound, and then I'm going to have her read the First Nations version. So, if you are able, I invite you to stand for the reading of the word. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content with whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength.
My heart is dancing for joy before our honored chief. For even though in the past you did not have the chance to show how deeply you care for me, you have shown once again how much you truly care. You should not think that I am looking for you to take care of my needs, for I have learned how to be at peace with whatever the Great Spirit has provided. I have lived with less than I need, and I have lived with more than I need. I have learned the secret of walking the road of life. Whether I am well-fed or hungry, whether I have more than I need or not enough, I can do all things through the chosen one who gives me strength.
Pray with me. God, for eyes to see and ears to hear this morning, that whatever mystery Paul is leaning on here in peace and contentment in all things, that you would show us maybe what that means. I entrust myself and my words to you this morning. I ask that what is ever true would remain and whatever doesn't isn't would fall away. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. So I want to open with a story this morning. On Friday, I finally got a minute to write a sermon. And I sat down to do so, and I'm feeling it. You're in that creative moment where the words are coming and I'm mid-thought on contentment, and a little notification pops up about a decision that was made in our country to overturn Roe versus Wade. Now, I want to be real clear that things like this at Awaken, things like abortion, divorce and remarriage, Christian response to war, like you name the thing, like, we don't assume that everyone is on the same page. We acknowledge that there is a ton of nuance, lots of it. We even go so far as to say, if your pastor and you disagree on a theological thing, that's okay too, as long as it feels like a space that you can grow. So by no means is me commenting on this like prescribing an experience or belief that you need to have. And I feel compelled, as a person who has had some major shifts on my own convictions in this space, to actually say something and to maybe be a pastor for the people who are having a hard time. So for those of you who are maybe not having a hard time, I'm just going to ask you to hold a little space for the people who are. And the way that I felt, I don't know, was honest to kind of say something was just to maybe share my own experience of it. In that moment for me, I was actually really surprised at kind of what came up. I'm a feeler, but like it takes me a minute to know what I'm feeling. I sit in my brain most of my life, and so it takes me a day to figure out, oh, I have some emotions about that. It's frustrating for me and everyone around me. But that moment, it came a little faster. Fear, worry, grief, whole lot of anger, like concern for the impact of this. Who is this going to impact? Like, what other protected rights are we saying don't count? What's going to happen? How do we actually walk something like this back? As a woman, and I'm not saying that I have like the female experience, there's a diversity obviously in that, but for me, engaging that part of my identity, like there was just a sense of violation almost. Like, I don't know. What if I have an ectopic pregnancy? You know what I mean? Or what if a person, like it's so complex, right? Friends, this is what I'm gonna ask us to do. Because I know that I'm not alone in the room in those feelings. I'm going to ask us to just take a deep breath. Like actually, just collectively on the count of three. One, two, three. And I'm going to ask us to just be here, right now. We're not going to think about what is or isn't coming. We're going to be in church, and we're going to let the Spirit minister and do the things in the complex ways that the Spirit does. And if this feels like something you're convicted along, there might be some invitation for you to do some action, and not right now. So we're going to be here, and we're going to receive from the Spirit. Deal? So in that moment, as I sat with that news and kind of went through my process, I realized, oh, Jenna, you have things to do today. So I went back to writing my sermon and to kind of get back into it. I read through these words, and I was a few sentences in, and just a wave of frustration washed over me as I realized I was writing a sermon on contentment in all things. In a moment where I really was not content. And so you kind of have to laugh, because isn't that just how it is? But honestly, even if that decision wouldn't have been made on Friday, I'm not content in all things. Like, there are things that I really don't have peace about, and I would guess that you maybe feel that way in some parts of your life too. Like, we are in a really complex moment in world history. And that's not new to humanity, just to be clear. That's not new to the church, but sometimes it really feels like it. And relationships are really struggling right now. That's probably the most common conversation I have with people. Like, how do I navigate the difference here? And, you know, we are in a pandemic still. We're not. We don't really know. How do you raise kids, right? It's like all these things. And friends, I know that I might be hard for some of you to listen to because I tend to bring it to the tension. And I will always do that, just to be clear, because my deepest conviction is that if our theologies and our understandings of God don't touch the harshest realities with good news and belonging, what are we doing? Like, I feel that so deep, and so I'm gonna ask us to sit in the tension a little bit, and it's also kind of how I hear God. So that's what you get from me. I will be honest that this sermon, because of that, was a real labor. I also know that when I feel that tension, that's usually the starting point and the invitation for me. And so I got curious, and I wondered a little bit, like, what is actually going on here? And as I read those words in that moment, it felt like what I was being asked to do was deny, like, the honest moment of discontentment for some flowery feeling of contentment. And so I thought, well, yeah, okay, that makes sense that I'm having some big feelings about that. But is that actually what Paul is getting at here? Or is this just me kind of being discontent? And then I remembered that Paul was writing the letter from jail. So maybe there's some more going on here and some wisdom that I'm not catching in the moment. Because I don't think that Paul is trying to communicate that whatever happens, just be okay with it. And whatever happens, just make peace because it's God's will. Because what's also true is there's a bunch of humans all around the world running around making decisions that may or may not be in line with God's best for the world. And it takes discernment and community and prayer to figure out where we are in that. And then to hold that it's probably going to be real messy for God's people because it always has been. And I'm choosing to enter the passage this way because not only do I hear God in the tension, but I also think this is one of those verses that can just be really misapplied. And it usually is when we are having a very valid response of discontentment and these words kind of get thrown on you. And so for today's purposes, as a pastor, I did not want to stand up here and move to contentment too quick. But I don't think Paul is doing that either. Like, Paul is talking about provision. He's talking about needs getting met. He's talking about an experience of God in the midst of lack. He's not implying that the way to contentment is through denial. That's not it. Paul is writing this letter to a community of people in Philippi, a congregation that he started, and is writing from prison. And just to give you some context, in the ancient world, if you're in prison, you don't get food. Like, you are totally reliant on the people outside of you to actually provide your basic needs. And so he's writing this letter to this community who seemingly showed up for him like that. He's thanking them in this moment. He's making it real clear that he doesn't need them anymore, but that he experienced God's provision through them. And so that's kind of what's going on in the context. Paul says, I have learned to be at peace with whatever the Great Spirit has provided. I have lived with less than I need, and I have lived with more than I need. I have learned the secret of walking the road of life. And so these questions come up in me. Like, what did he learn? What is the secret to life, Paul? But maybe more important, what's the road? Like, what do we actually have to walk out? Paul is acknowledging here that sometimes we don't have enough. There are times when it's real clear that we don't have it, whether it's capacity, money, patience, time, food, rights, knowledge, any other finite thing. He's talking about a certain reality here that humans encounter. We have limitations, and that can be really disappointing, disorienting, hard, unjust, surprising. Sometimes we don't know it's coming, but that is a part of the road. And finding contentment or peace in those things is not always a smooth path. And I'm sort of the belief, I don't know that it just happens. I think it's something that we have to live, We have to learn it. We have to experience it. We have to work for it. But Paul is also saying there's a mystery at play in the midst of it. This past April, I had the opportunity to hike the Grand Canyon in a day, down and up, which is actually very funny, if you know me, because I am not an athlete. In my heart of hearts, perfect day, I'm laying in my bed for most of it thinking. I had friends when in my early 20s, I dated this guy who was like marathon guy, and all of my friends said, "Jenna, we don't know if this is a good idea. He's going to disrupt your sedentary lifestyle." It didn't work. Anyways, so it was a big deal for me to do something like this. This isn't really in my natural leaning. But my aunt and uncle offered to do this with me, and so I said, absolutely, that sounds great. So it was 18 miles, and the last four are all uphill switchbacks on the trail we were on. And so this was an experience that I trained for. And in that, like, you kind of get an idea of what a mile feels like in your body and how long a mile might take you. And so when we got to the ascent, I had this thing in me where I was really angry for some reason. We had a long ways to go. And so I started that ascent, and I was working and pushing through. I was tired. I was hot. And then I reached this point where I thought I was further than I actually was. I was only 2 miles in, and I needed to go 4. And then again, just the anger of, like, you have got to be kidding me. And at this point, like, you can see where you need to be, and it looks so close, but it's not. There's a long ways to go. But there was this moment for me when I had to stop, because I realized that the anger actually wasn't going to sustain me the whole way. Like, there was a way that I could be thankful for it getting me halfway. It provided a whole lot of energy, but I had a long ways to go. And so there was this moment of stopping and of steadying myself and a little prayer and just, like, shifting, head down, one foot in front of the other. Take breaks when you need and get up the hill. You can do it. You have to do it. And so I think what Paul is saying, learning contentment or peace in the midst of need, is a little like that. Like, it's a total contradiction to be content in need, to trust in a provision bigger than yourself, especially when you are in that place of need. But for me, my walking on that trail, it had to turn to this place where the road wasn't my enemy anymore. I had to figure out how to get content on it, how to make peace with it. I had to figure out how to trust it. It was the solid ground that worked to hold me up. And you know, like, the metaphor breaks down in a million ways, and I wonder if there isn't something to assuming that the road is good. And that if you're on a road that's not good, like, we can find a good road again, right? Paul talks about this secret he's found on walking this road. And so a little fun fact on context here, the language of these three sentences, Paul is actually using common language of the Stoics in Greek philosophy. So this word contentment that was translated in the NIV that we heard, it was very common language among Stoic material. And so I'm going to read a quote here. If this doesn't quite resonate, we'll get there. The Stoics held that contentment or self-sufficiency was achieved as the individual became indifferent to his or her surroundings. The Stoic looked to virtue to find contentment. Virtue was found in oneself independent of others. Apatheia, or detachment, was the goal. So that was kind of an idea of how do you get to contentment? You detach from it. And so for Paul, he's saying, no, that is not the goal. That's not the way to contentment. It's not self-sufficiency. It's not becoming indifferent to hardship or suffering or need. It's actually participating in it. It's embracing it. It's Christ. It's the move of the incarnation where the divine actually inhabits creation. And so it's through engagement, acceptance in the hardship and suffering, not indifference towards it. And it is not the self that is the alone source. It's God and community. That is where Christ comes alive. That's the secret. That's not denying the discontentment, it's embracing it. And that is where we experience the mystery, like where that discontentment gets transformed into something else. Like we trust that the abundance and the more than enough comes again. We trust that the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding, like, will show up because we are walking on a road that leads to it. We trust that the hope isn't in vain. We trust that the gathering and organizing of God's people matters to get to the abundance again. Like, that is the other part of the road, because sometimes it is abundant and beautiful and hopeful. Sometimes people show up for you in astounding ways. Sometimes you are in seasons in life with easy yeses because you have an abundance of time and energy. Looking at you, parents. Sometimes it looks like a pocket of people who say no. We are not going to suspend and put every pastor on trial for pastoring queer people. Like, we want to figure out how to live together and carve out a third way. There was abundance in that vote. I think that the word translated contentment here, this is just my opinion, would better be translated resilient. Like, I've learned how to be resilient in all things. I've learned how to be okay in all things. And for Paul, that resilience and that okayness is not just from himself. Like, he participates in it. He builds that muscle. And yet, it's also a mystery that is bigger than him in Christ. We are drawing on a strength that is both outside of us and inside of us, that in Christ there is a reality that we get to tap into that grounds and stabilizes and acts out of clarity and love and channels anger and rage into justice and a better world, bringing life to dead things, that shows us the way. I think that is how Paul can say it and mean it. Like, I can do all things through the chosen one who gives me strength. I'm capable of walking that road. To know Christ is to know that even if you run out, it doesn't run out. What kind of deep trust do we have to have in life, in a benevolent creator, for us to sustain that experience of life and to keep walking towards contentment, to stay rooted and grounded so that even when hard news comes, like, we can stand, we can rise, we can be okay, we can walk again. I think I believe that. I really do. And so as we turn to a moment of response, I'm going to leave some space for silence. And during that time of response, you'll be invited to stand, sing. Communion will be happening if that's something you want to do. There's red wine, white grape juice. All the bread is gluten-free. And so you'll be invited, and if you participate, hear these words: body of Christ, which has been broken for you, the blood of Christ shed for you. Let's pray. God, that you would expand us to receive the mystery of your strength, to help us to keep trusting that the road is good, and you are with us on the path, to give us everything we need to show up in ways that you are inviting in this moment in time. God, I pray that your Spirit would say the things I forgot, minister to us this morning. Amen. Well, friends, receive these words. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Find us online at www.awakencommunity.com
or on Facebook at www.facebook.com/awakencommunity
or on Twitter at awakencommunity.
See you next time.